comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this beautiful planet, thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I'm here because you have a right to know. I'm here because you matter. The Alternative Universe Eye Conference for June, well, that's going to happen on June the 30th. And the tickets are going on sale this week, so you need to be watching my website, kevinsmithshow.com. And when you see that gigantic link across the middle of your screen that says Alternative Universe, click it, and that's where you can get your tickets. Only $10 and five absolutely fabulous presentations coming in this iConference. $10. It comes to you. You don't have to go to the conference. It comes to you. So this is your opportunity to get in on something really, really good, but it won't cost you a lot, $10. If you are not subscribed to the K-Files, you need to be subscribed. It's our free weekly newsletter, and it's very, very, very easy to subscribe. All you do, get over to my website. Right in the middle of your screen, you see the word K-Files. Click on it and subscribe. And then you'll get an email with a link in it where you have to click the link and activate your subscription. That way we make sure we don't spam anybody. Well, last night's show, as you may have imagined, drew both positive comments and negative comments. That's not new. That happens with every single show. But one of the comments on the negative side really sort of has shades of possible internet guru disinformation operative kind of stuff with it. Possible. But what's interesting is it's from inside the UFO paranormal community. And I'm going to tell you all about that on the other side of the break that will be coming up in just a moment. We got an email from Florida, from Sasha in Florida, and Sasha wanted to know, and I get this every once in a while, but not as often as I used to, Sasha wants to know, where did you get that cool intro music? So the music that we play right at the beginning, you know, where the voice whispers, "You don't know why." Well, Sasha wants to know where I got that. Well, Sasha, I am the creator of that. I created that when I was in East Timor. I was preparing to come back here to the United States. And I knew that I had made the decision. I was not going to do international policing anymore. And I was going to focus on this show. And I wanted some introduction music that was pretty unique. Nobody else was using it. And I'm telling you the truth when I tell you that I created that on a laptop computer sitting under a banana tree in my front yard in the jungle in East Timor, in Vekeke, East Timor. And the music you hear at the end of the show, I also did that at the same time. And so we've been using that music since the end of 2003. That's where it came from. All right, we're going to take a break, and I'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Now, this is going to be an open line show tonight, once I kick the telephone lines open, and we will talk about really whatever you would like to talk about here tonight. But you've probably, if you've been over to the website, you saw the picture that is on the page and about tonight's show. And you see this donkey there, and it says "Open Line Live," and then there's an arrow pointed to the donkey, and it says "Minus the Internet Gurus." So you're probably wondering about that. So we're going to have a little fun with that tonight, and I'll talk a little bit about Internet Gurus tonight. And then we'll kick the telephone lines open. So what's behind all of that? Well, on the show last night, I interviewed Jose Escamilla, who's truly one of the premier filmmakers in our genre. And he's really done some really masterful films in the UFO paranormal genre. And, of course, he's got one that's coming out in July 21st. And that one is going to be called Celestial. But three of his major productions have had to do specifically with the moon. One of them is called Moon Rising, one of them is called Luna, and one of them is called Celestial. Celestial actually has not come out yet, but it is a major production. And so what I did for the show is I was watching Luna, and I captured a still shot, a frame, out of his movie Luna. And in fact, this still shot is captured from, and I did it on purpose, I captured it from the movie trailer that's on YouTube. And I did that because I wanted to be sure that I used what you could easily access yourself. And I mentioned that this was out of Luna, it was off of the trailer. And the picture shows what appears to be a statue. It appears to be a sculpture, and this is on the moon. Well, if you caught the show last night, now if you watched the show last night, you saw the picture. And if you didn't watch the show last night, where's the genius in that? Because I made it free for everybody to watch last night. Everybody, anybody could watch the show. And if you didn't, you just didn't. But there's no genius in not having done so. The genius is in having done it. And you saw the picture if you watched the show. Now, every single show, doesn't matter, I mean, every single show, regardless of the guest, regardless of the topic, we get email from people who say, man, that was just the greatest, and that's the best guest you ever had. And then I get email from people who say, that's the lousiest guest you ever had, never have that person back again. Etc. So that's not unusual. I mean, we get that each and every day. It's the nature of the beast. If you're going to be doing talk shows, it's the nature of the beast. However, I recently wrote an article and published that article. It's on the website, and in fact, you just look over there on the right side of the website, you'll see where it says KSS News, and the article is over there. And it's an article that has to do with disinformation and disinformation. Disinformation, of course, is information that's purposely skewed for the purpose of disrupting UFO extraterrestrial research. And yes, there are government operations that do that. And then there are people who just feel called of God to do it. You know, they're not getting a paycheck from the government. They're just called of God. They have this voice that comes from on high and tells them to go out there and be an internet expert, an internet guru, and just spread all kinds of manure. Okay. Well, some of those people, in fact, you'll find those folks a whole lot. You'll find them in UFO-type forums on the Internet. You'll find them at YouTube. They're the ones that respond to any kind of UFO-type video on YouTube. They'll or paranormal video. They'll respond to it with really nasty comments, and they belittle the people and call them stupid, and you people are blind, and I've, you know, I can't believe you're so gullible, and stuff like that. Okay, well, I mean, they're all through the Internet forums and so forth. So they are inside the UFO community, and they actively work to create dissension and trouble and to spread nonsense. And lots of times they set themselves up as an expert. Like there's this one expert I told you about. He's an expert because he says so. And used to pass himself off as a marshal and says that, you know, he's out there telling people I was never a police chief. And he's got a little paranormal show he's trying to build up and trying to build himself up as a big expert in the field. And so, you know, if you really don't have substance, what better way to make yourself look big than to attack someone who is well known and has a big show? And so that goes on. That also is not new. But this one was new. I had not run into this one before. But now, again, you know, the picture that I used on the show came right out of the film Luna. Now, we said over and over and over in that show that these are photographs that come, these are official photographs that Jose Escamilla used in Luna, official photographs from the USGS Clementine collection. Some of the Clementine photos had been not classified or declassified. 1.8 million photographs taken in the Clementine mission, but only, I don't know, about 800, 900 or so are available for download out of 1.8 million. But Jose Escamilla downloaded everything they had for download and spent a lot of time and money doing that and archiving these photographs. So these are official photographs of the moon. And the moon, of course, is not gray. If you think the moon is gray, if that's what you think, you're about 30 years behind the learning curve here. The moon is not. That is, it looks white and silvery to us because of the junk in our atmosphere. But and because of it's close enough that its reflectiveness of the sun is bright enough that, you know, it kind of whites out some of its colors, but it's not. It's not white, it's not gray, it's not silver, and it's not green cheese. The moon has color, and it's mainly browns and greens and yellows and blues. And so, anyway, we talked about this, and we said over and over and over and over and over that these photographs are USGS photographs. This is not something I made up, and this is not something Jose Escamilla made up. Something that you can go get it at USGS, or you can contact Jose Escamilla. He's got all these archived, and you know, he can give you the number of the photograph, and you can go download it yourself and take a look at it yourself. This is real stuff here. And it's too easy to check out. It's just absolutely simple to check out. Well, I get this email, and this is from a guy named Mark, and he runs a paranormal group, apparently, and he says, couldn't tell if that photo was on the moon or in Joe, and I assume he means Jose, Anyway, if he meant Jose, he misspelled it. Couldn't tell if that photo was on the moon or in Joe's trash bin. Yet you guys both see El Dorado and the Galactic Empire Strike Force. I want what you're smoking. Well, that kind of a comment from someone is kind of normal. I mean, we get snide, snotty-nosed, nasty rear comments like that from people. And, you know, we get those frequently. But he put the link to his UFO paranormal website. So I went over there and took a look at it. I couldn't believe that there could be someone in a group like that so totally, completely out of touch with just basic investigation. It was unreal. Because, you know, we told where to get these photographs. We told you where to go look, and you can get these photographs. It's the Clementine mission, and go to the Clementine viewer, and you can get these photographs. And Jose even said, you know, he would give you the number of the photograph if you wanted to look it up. And here's someone who's supposedly, ostensibly, part of a UFO paranormal investigation group, part, you know, and well, just let me read it again. I'll read it to you without me laughing. I have to laugh because of the, you know, the it's just almost inbred nutsiness here. Couldn't tell if that photo on the moon, now let me put the photo up for those who are watching. Okay, couldn't tell if that photo on the moon, couldn't tell if that photo was on the moon or in Joe's trash bin. Yet you guys both see El Dorado and the Galactic Empire Strike Force. I want what you're smoking. Well, he also says, P.S., would have been nice to publish the coordinate also. Look, it's not my job or Jose's job to do your research for you, Mark. Okay? We told you where to go find the photo. This was not that I discovered this on the moon. It is in the USGS photos, the Clementine photos, and it's not on Google Earth or Google Space or Google Moon or Google nothing. Okay, it's in the USGS photos. He said he would give the number of the photos. You want the number, you know, just get in touch with him. He'll find the number and give it to you. But this is official stuff. This is straight from the U.S. government. And it's not our job to do your research for you, Mark. You do your research. I mean, you're supposed to be, I think you're the head of that group. You're supposed to be the head of it. You're the internet guru there. So you do your research. You do your. It's not our job to do your work for you and then convince you and somehow we're supposed to. I don't care whether you believe or disbelieve. I don't care whether you what you think about it. I mean, it is what it is. We gave you the evidence. We told you where you can go find the evidence yourself, and it's up to you. You want to go find it? Go find it. It's not my job to do your work for you. And, you know, but now I hope you're listening, and I hope you understand, I'm not angry with you, I'm a little surprised. I would expect someone that runs a group, and I think you run that group, I'm not sure. But if you run that group, I would expect someone that runs a group like that to be a little bit more on the ball than that. And, you know, but this is what happens, folks. We have internet gurus. No matter what you say in the UFO paranormal field, no matter what you say, we have these internet gurus. You know, they're going to protect you from the frauds. Oh, horseradish. You know, I mean, do you actually need protection or can you think? I think you can think. I mean, this show is for grown-up adult people who can think. I understand that's an acquired taste, and it's a skill not everybody has. However, you're a grown-up adult. You have the ability to think. You have the ability to look at evidence and decide what you think about it. I told you what I think. I think that it shows, I think that photograph shows art. I think, you know, maybe you don't. That's fine. That's okay. And I don't think you've been smoking something if you think it doesn't show art, if you think that's not a sculpture. I don't think you've been smoking something. You have your opinion and I have mine. But this is the way these internet guru disinformation people work. And that is, they throw in that you, look, you, Mark, you can't attack the photograph because you know, and I know, it is a USGS Clementine official photograph. You know it, I know it, the audience knows it. So you can't attack that. So what do? You attack me and Jose by saying, you know, we see El Dorado and the Galactic Space Force. And then you said you would like to have whatever it is we're smoking. Well, I suspect it's your arse that's smoking now. The internet gurus, well, they're out there, folks. Beware. I never tell you what to think. I never tell you that I'm going to be your champion and protect you from the frauds. I present information. And I expect you're probably grown up enough to think for yourself. Now, I could be wrong, but I sort of expect you're not a mushroom. I sort of expect that you have all your gray cells functioning, and you can think for yourself. But this is the way the internet gurus operate. And they are the bane not only of UFO paranormal research, they are the bane of every sane and serious endeavor that tries to do something on the internet. The internet gurus, the people that are going to protect you, the people that are going to ride to the front and be your champion. Well, Mark, ride to the front, and you know, you're going to get knocked off your horse, but ride to the front. And flash your shield and wave your sword and give the battle cry. And when it's all said and done, Mark, that's a USGS official Clementine mission photograph. And it shows what it shows. By the way, if you don't know Clementine mission, that was on the moon. And it just shows what it shows. Now, maybe you don't see a sculpture there. That's okay. I do, and that's okay too. That's the way this works. Back in the days when there was actual freedom of thought and freedom of speech, that was normal. Well, it still happens here. And all of this narrow gauge thinking, well, that's crap. We don't do it here. And like I said, you wanted what me and Jose were smoking? I suspect what smoking now is behind you. We'll be back right after this.
Oregon, and you're listening to the Kevin Smith Show, also known as the world's hottest talk show host.
I'm sorry, I can't help it. Ladies and gentlemen, gotta have a little fun with this tonight. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we are talking tonight about a couple of things, and then we'll open up the telephone lines because it is open line live. And hey, if you're an internet guru, call and take your chances. It'll be fine. But I'm serious about that. I mean, you know, really, you'll be taking your chances. But if you want to play hardball, welcome to my league. Now let's talk about a really exciting thing that's coming up, or at least they say it's coming up. Some people are sort of clicking their tongues and, you know, kind of raising an eyebrow and saying, yeah, right, Yeah, well, that might be a right response too. I don't know. There's a Dutch company that is called Mars One, and what they are going to do, at least these are their plans, and they have a Nobel laureate physicist backing it. They've got some really high, big names backing what they're about to do. And what they are going to do, they say what they're going to do, is they're going to create a new reality TV show. And some of you are going, oh boy, that's just what we need, some more Kardashians. But look, what this is going to be, it's not going to be shot here on Earth. They're planning to put people on Mars by 2023. They have already contacted every space agency on the planet, every private space company on the planet. And they say every component of what they need is available. They have letters of intent, I guess you could call it, from each of these space agencies saying that they would be willing to participate in this. And what they're going to do is they will send supplies first, and then a rover that will pick the best spot in that area for people to land. And then starting in 2023, they will land a capsule with four people who will live there, and they're going there to live the rest of their lives there. And the TV show will be live from Mars. And the next year, four more will arrive. The next year, four more. The next year, four more. And they are going to colonize Mars with people who are going there to spend the rest of their lives. And they will be on television. Their daily lives and what they're doing and what Mars is like and all of that is going to be beamed back to Earth. And they are saying this is going to top anything Big Brother can do. And this is really going to be the biggest event, the biggest media event ever. Now, if they do it, it will be the biggest media event ever. They're quite serious about it. And, you know, I hope they succeed. I really do. I hope that they are able to accomplish what it is they say they are going to accomplish. Because if they do accomplish this, that, you know, even if they just get like four people up there and then the next year four and maybe one more year four and then it becomes too complicated and they say that's it. Well, that'll be sad for those people up there. True enough. But it means that private companies are willing and able to do what NASA has turned tail and run from. Speaking of smoking something, stuff that in your pipe, NASA, and smoke that. It means that people in the private sector are capable of and willing to do what NASA has turned tail and run away from. How does that make you feel, Congress? What do you think about that? The telephone lines are open. It is Open Line Live tonight. As I said, internet gurus are welcome to call and take their chances. It's quite all right with me. You know, if you want to play hardball, welcome to the major league, and just give it a whirl. You might even survive. Maybe not, but you might. Everybody else. All of the normal thinking adults out there, what do you think about all of this? I mean, going to Mars with a colony and doing a reality show from there, I think that's pretty exciting. What do you think about it? And if you don't want to talk about either of these stories that I've talked about, we'll talk about what you want to talk about. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent. Are you calling as a thinking adult or as an internet guru?
I won't say adult, but I'm thinking.
Okay.
I don't think I ever grew up.
All right. Good enough.
So far as the Mr. Mark is concerned, I'll say this. My eyes are bad. I have double vision, and I can see that there's something there. I don't know what it is. Kevin and Jose's descriptions are as good as anybody else's. So until further notice, I'll go with that. But the only way I'll really be able to find out is if I go up there myself.
Well, that's true. And, you know, what we're saying is this is what it looks like. And, you know, now to me, I mean, I did say, and I'll say now, not only does it look like a sculpture to me, I'm willing to state that as far as I am concerned, it is a sculpture. Now, that's my opinion. And, you know, but I'm looking at something here that geology doesn't do. And this is a complex sculpture. And so, you know, I said then and I say now that to me, this looks like something
geology that, can't do.
Right. Somebody, I don't know who, and I don't know when, but somebody carve this sculpture, and it's gigantic.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing here was he couldn't tell if the photo was on the moon or in Joe, and I guess he means Jose. It's hard for me to read somebody's mind, but I'm assuming, since that was my guess, he really meant Jose. Mm-hmm. And he said he couldn't tell whether that was in on the moon or whether that was Joe in Joe's trash bin. Well, I told you where it's from, and we told everybody, you know, if you doubt that, well, it's at the USGS Clementine viewer. Go look.
Yeah. Now, as to the Mars thing, I'm hoping they make it, but with, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but with the Russians' success on Venus, but their failures on Mars, I'm wondering if the United States does have a base up there and they want to claim a monopoly.
Well, I don't have any absolute evidence that we have a base there, but we have been told. We've been told by a major scientist. We've been told by Command Sergeant Major Bob Dean that, yes, we do have bases on Mars. I'm like you. All I can do is go, that's what they say, and, you know, they said it on the air. I have no way to prove it or disprove it, but that's what they say. So assuming that that's correct, I would assume that the United States will not appreciate any interference and probably will not brook any interference, either from other governments or from private industry.
Yeah. That's my main concern with that. I hope I'm wrong, but if I'm right, oh well.
Well, later in the show, during one of the breaks, I'll be playing the Mars One introduction film. That'll be the whole break. And you'll notice that in this film, it's pretty exciting, but in this film they make Mars look like NASA makes Mars look. And when they get there, assuming they do, they're going to find out it doesn't look like that.
It looks like Arizona without the cactus.
That's what it looks like. And in many places, but in some places, it's not red, it's blues and greens.
Yeah, I've seen that. I mean, I don't necessarily agree that it's a river, but it could. It's blue.
Yeah, definitely blue. And there are huge places where, for all the world, it actually appears there are some type of conifer trees.
I agree, some guys.
Yeah, and people that have never seen those pictures are right now saying, oh, golly, this guy he's gone around the corner now. No, folks, those photographs exist. Go to J.P. Skipper's website, MarsAnomalyResearch.com, and what you will find are those pictures straight from NASA.
They don't have the NASA filtering removed, but they're there. They suggest pine trees.
It certainly does. And, you know, you'll see at that website, you'll see the forest that I'm talking about, the NASA picture of the forest, and then you'll see the same picture where J.P. Skipper has added color. And when they get there, they're going to find Mars is a far, far different planet than what they've been led to believe.
Yeah. Well, that's all I had to say for tonight.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call.
Yep. Goodbye.
Bye. All right. The telephone line is open, 623-444-5889. The line is open for normal individuals as well as internet gurus, and we'd love to know what you think. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Mike from Kentucky, Kevin.
Hello, Mike. Are you a normal individual or are you an internet guru tonight?
Probably a little bit of both.
Okay.
I'll tell you, that water in those lakes on Mars is cold, Kevin. You know, and that sun just don't warm you too fast.
Mm-hmm.
So you better take something to dry off with.
But yeah.
Anyway, you know, this guy, I can't really knock people regardless of what they claim, because they put a name researcher in front of their name, paranormal researcher, paranormal investigator. A lot of times that just means a believer with a title.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things I've learned over my 50-plus years of investigation is, at some point, if you're going to be a researcher, you put your beliefs on a shelf,
mm-hmm.
and you go by the data in front of you, and you decide what the truth or non-truth or I don't know point of view based on the information, not on what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
And you know yourself that one of the main culprits of belief is the religious factor. It gets in the way, it tarnishes a person's ability to look at things objectively.
Mike, we have a break taking over. Can you hang on?
Sure can.
All right, we'll be back right after this, folks, so don't go away. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. On the telephone with me is Mike from Kentucky. We had to cut you off, Mike, because of the break, but the floor is yours.
Well, you know, going to this these private industry, going to the Mars and to the planets and space and building colonies and space stations in space, one of the things they have to be aware of before they do that, this colonization of a planet, is they may be trespassing when they land there. There may be somebody there, and they may not like it if they start coming up there and trying to trespass on their land. And I would say that just because you're a corporation, you're not military, you better have some form of protection to protect yourself.
That's some good advice. You know, the Phobos 2 satellite found out that there was someone there that didn't want them there. And
yes.
There was someone or something, it got a picture of the something, and whatever that was did not want Phobos 2 there, and it took care of business.
Well, now a lot of people are thinking, well, like Brett said, maybe those are Americans that are up there on that base and they have those ships, but because Americans seem to be able to go to Mars without any trouble, while the Russians can go to Venus.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's not necessarily so. Could be that there's some kind of a pact or agreement between Americans, if they are there, and the races that live there.
Well, it could be. You know, I don't. When it comes to that thing with the Russians, you know, they've successfully landed on Venus 10 times. And one time, I think they got like 165 hours before the heat finally got to the spacecraft and it quit working. But they got many hours out of each of those spacecraft, and they got pictures from the surface of Venus, and that's something NASA's never done. But whenever they pull out of the driveway and head to Mars, it's a 90% certainty they're not going to get there. I'm talking about the Russians. And that doesn't make sense. I don't know what causes that. It is a great mystery that you can leave the driveway and go to Venus, no problem. And you can do it repeatedly and land there. So you know they've got the space expertise, the technology, the scientific knowledge. You know they've got it because they can land on Venus anytime they want to. But when they leave Earth and head to Mars, there's about a 90% chance that it's going to fail. And that's weird.
Well, that's the way it's demonstrated so far, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just recently watched the launch and the docking of the SpaceX satellite plus the Dragon, you know,
uh-huh.
with the space station. And they did a great job on their first test flight to the space station.
Yes,
and
they did.
Everything went just perfect. And if they keep having tests like that, they said that they plan to be man ready by 2015.
Could be before that. Did you know that capsule that they sent up there, if it's rigged for humans, can it seat 7?
Yeah.
It seats seven people.
I'm talking about it because I watched that mission. I actually taped it on my DVR and followed it the whole mission, and I saw the conversations with the creators or the inventors of that company, you know, SpaceX.
Mm-hmm.
And, they talked that capsule that was there, it just took some modification from what it was there as a cargo model to be able to put man on it right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and it will seat 7.
Yeah.
So that's that's pretty incredible. But, I mean, you stack that up against what NASA was doing with the space shuttle and then what they were doing with... we've got to build this big, big thing to go to the moon, and, we want to take 7 people, and we've got to have this big, big thing to go to Mars, and now we're not going to the moon or Mars, but we're building this big, big thing so we can go farther and faster than ever before. To where?
Well, I think that's false advertisement on NASA's part, because if I'm not mistaken, our president canceled all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's the case, then that's all just sort of false propaganda on NASA's part.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me.
But, you know, can you imagine, like you said, that little capsule, the way it's designed and everything, and it's got the new heat shield on it, you know, that different material, and worked flawlessly. If you need rescue vehicles... You put a couple of those things on that space station and rescue pods. That will outdo anything that the Russians or any of the others are doing up there right now.
Yeah, because you could get 7 people out at one time.
That's right.
In each one of them. Where with right now they have Soyuz as an escape pod. And you can only get 3 people in a Soyuz.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you stop and think about that. Didn't they say that 7 was the maximum number of people they intended to keep on the space station at this time?
I don't know, Mike. Honestly, whatever I say about that, other than I don't know, would just not be true. I really don't know what they've said about that.
Well, even at that, if they had two of those cargo carriers of the Dragon up there attached to that space station, and then they had a crew of 14 on there, they could get every one of them off if they had to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do know that there is a robot up there, and that this robot will be the last man standing, if you will, when the space station is deorbited finally and crashed into the ocean.
Well, you know, I really think that's a waste of money. I've said this before. They should put an iron rocket on that and ease that space station out of orbit and send it into orbit around the moon and use it for a research station there. Why spend all that extra money to reconstruct another one around the moon, which if you do this easily, you could save that one?
Well, Mike, the problem here with your idea is that that's the sort of thing that makes sense, and that's against government policy.
Yeah, I sometimes think that's correct.
Yeah, it is. It is. And but interesting thoughts all the way around. Now I got to ask you this: if they do get this colony up there and start doing this reality TV show from Mars, are you going to watch?
Well, definitely so. Yeah, but I tell you, if they put it in the same time slot as Kevin Smith, I'll have to tape it.
It would. I cannot promise that I would change my time slot. But it would be the only thing that would make me think about changing my time slot.
I hear you.
Yeah.
And I agree with
it. And I was offered a lot of money one time, you may remember, to change my time slot.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a... If you like drama and space-type movies, I just recently came across one called... Iron Sky, and it's a science fiction movie about at the end of the World War II, the Nazis actually, instead of going to South America, they flew their Nibu craft to the back side of the dark side of the moon, and they built a base there to mine helium-3.
Well, and it's called Iron Sky?
Yes, Iron Sky is the name of it.
I'll check that out. Mike, I got to run along. We got another break coming up.
All right.
Thanks for the call. All right. Okay. Well, folks, tonight is open line. I've thrown a couple of things out on the table, and if you want to talk about those, we'll talk about those. If you want to talk about something else within our genre, let's talk about it. It is open line. If you're an internet guru and want to play some hardball, come on into the field. And welcome to my league, and we will see what we will see. But the telephone number is 623-444-5889. Now, just before we go to break, let me remind you that this week we will begin selling the tickets for the Alternative Universe Eye Conference coming up on June 30th. Dr. Brooks Agnew, Dr. Courtney Brown, Jerry Wills, Greg Bishop, and one other. I was not able to confirm that one today, but I understand it's confirmed, but I was not able personally to confirm that that's correct. So I'll tell you the other one before we put them on sale. But you want to get your ticket? Your ticket is $10. And, we start at noon Pacific time on June 30th. 5 hours, five great presentations, $10. You gotta be there. We'll be back right after this. right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And for those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome. I'm glad you're here. You do have my sincere sympathy for whatever has kept you from the first hour. And our best wishes, hopes, and prayers that you will not miss another first hour for the rest of your life. On the telephone, caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Leah from Tennessee.
Hi, Leah.
Hey, I got a couple quick comments about both your little topics.
Okay.
Okay, the first one with Mark and all these other people who make Jack Blanks of themselves before even investigating.
Jack Blanks? You mean jackasses? You mean jackasses?
Yeah. That's
yeah, you can say jackasses on the radio.
Okay, I didn't want to be safe there.
Yeah, you can say jackasses.
Well, your show, the whole purpose of your show is to shine light on different subjects and things that we don't get to see on other genres and TV and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole point is to give you a place to start and look into it yourself. You don't tell anybody what to believe or what to think. It's saying look into it.
Absolutely.
And if they would do that, they wouldn't make idiots of themselves.
Well, I'm not going to say he's an idiot. You know, and I'm not correcting you. I'm just saying for me, I won't say that he's an idiot. He may be actually quite an intelligent person. However, he did kind of set himself up as an internet guru, and internet gurus are pretty much jackasses. But you know, this could be an aberration. This might not be his normal modus operandi.
Well, let's hope not. But things like that really does, you know, where the saying comes, we're making fool of yourself. That's a definite example.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Okay, and the other one, this whole thing about going to Mars for a reality show.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of, you can't, everything, you have to, everything, like you said, with the information we're not giving, everything's on the table.
That's right.
So anything's possible. And if people like what Andy Basago, I heard his name right, talks about, there's predators on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
It may turn into a horror flick.
It might. It might. You know, Mike had a good suggestion, and that is they better have some way to defend themselves because you don't know who or what is there. And if there's not...
Well, Mike tend to want to scout it out and maybe get some permission or protection.
Well, you know, I don't think they're going to be able to get any permission from, like, NASA or...
Well, it's not,
you know,
NASA. It's people from Mars.
Yeah. I guess you'd kind of have to go there and make contact to try and do that. But even if it's not a danger from... Even if the danger is not from occupants, you know, sentient occupants of Mars... if they are there, if they're not there, either way, they might not be the danger. There may be some kind of predatory animal. There may be some type of predatory viruses as well.
Yeah, yeah, which they could cause problems too.
Yeah.
Also, but, you know, if they do it the right way and do make contact and get set up proper with protection, and we may actually have a show about meeting the people from Mars, and that'd be a really cool show.
It would. And then there would be people sitting here on Earth saying, ah, they just done that in a studio somewhere. That's not real.
Probably.
Yeah. Some internet gurus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there would be. But, okay, so if they do this... And if the show actually goes on the air and they're broadcasting from Mars, are you going to watch?
I don't watch TV. If they put it on internet, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, for sure you'd be able to go to Hulu and get reruns.
Yeah, that's probably what I'll have to do, just watch the reruns.
Well, that's what I normally do. If I
don't want to see it anyway.
Yeah, if I watch anything that's television, I'm normally watching it on the internet and it's a rerun because what's happening is there's some kind of stuff processing on my computers here in the studio and I turn to my laptop, which is over here, and I'll put on something to watch while the other computers are tied up and I'm just stuck. But I'll tell you something. If they're broadcasting from Mars, I'm going to have to be very, very interested in that.
Well, you know, if it's gory, a gory eat-em-up kind of thing, I really don't want to watch it.
I want to watch it whatever it is.
You can tell me about it on the show, Kevin, because I don't want to see that.
Okay, well, and the gory stuff I wouldn't put on the show anyway.
No, but you can tell us.
Okay. All right. Well, Leah, thank you so much for calling.
You have a good night.
All right, good night. What about you? 623-444-5889. Now, if you are calling or if you're listening to the show or watching the show from somewhere other than the USA or Canada, we have an additional option for you. Now, that additional option is, I mean, you can call that number. It will work. But the additional option, because it can be expensive to do those international long-distance calls, is you can go to my website. Ooh, that was nasty. You can go over to my website, and the website is kevinsmithshow.com. You scroll down, take a look at the picture about tonight's show. You'll know you're there. You'll see a big donkey, big picture of a donkey. And right above that, you'll see a link that says Flash Message. So if you're not in the USA or Canada, feel free to use the Flash Message option to participate in tonight's show, and we would love to hear from you, regardless of where you are on this planet. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Hi. I have a question for you. On this Alternative Universe iConference,
uh-huh.
If you're not a speaker, do you make any money off of this, I mean, as opposed to being a speaker on it?
Yes and no. Okay, if I say the house, like in a casino, there's the house, takes a cut. Okay, the house, the organization, does take a very, very small cut to pay the expenses of putting it on. So in that sense, I guess you could say yes, it won't come out of my pocket, it comes out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
But if I speak, and then I get the speaker's fee, but I'm not speaking, and I'm not scheduled to speak in any others.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, two of the ones that I spoke at were an accident.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, two of the iConferences where I spoke, it was an accident. It was because in both cases, we had one case had technical difficulties with a speaker, and so we had to fill in with something, and I spoke, and at the other one, we had a speaker that, I guess you could say, canceled at the last moment, and we didn't have time to get someone else in there, and so I got thrown in again. So I've spoken three times, but only once was scheduled.
Okay. I know we talked in the past about you having a guest as an astronaut on the show. Have you ever banned anybody from your show?
Yes.
The reason I ask you this, okay, is you've had your reasons to ban that person. I'm not interested in exactly who it was or why.
Mm-hmm.
But on the last show with Courtney Brown,
yeah,
he said that he wasn't public for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the Art Bell on Coast to Coast.
Mm-hmm.
10 years ago, there was a Courtney Brown.
That's him.
I believe that Art banned from his show. Do you know anything about this?
Yeah, I know what happened. I know the background story on it. Courtney has published that story, the background story on it, in his latest book. And you know, so he hasn't hidden from it. In some ways, I mean, when you know the background story, you sort of flip a quarter, and whichever way it comes down, heads or tails, you could come down and say, okay, Courtney was right, or okay, Art was right. But the way it, when you know the background story, and I will leave it to him and his book to tell you the background story, because I don't want to leave out details. I don't want to insert details. But when you read the background story and you know it, I come down with they were both right and they were both a little bit wrong. It was a matter of a disjuncture between the minds. But Courtney will tell you that he said, look, I was not wrong, but I can't defend myself against someone who's controlling the mic. Well, that's true. Yeah, if I decide right now, if you start talking and you're saying something I don't like and I decide I'm going to talk over you, I can push a button and the audience won't hear you. And, I mean, you can't defend yourself. And I try to be very aware of that and let people say what they want to say. But, and I'm not saying, look, let me say, I am not saying that that's what Art Bell did. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that in my own operation here, I understand when he says you can't defend yourself against someone who controls the mic. I understand that because I do control the mic.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like being on TV and editing it.
Well, I could just push a button and then people wouldn't even hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I just talk and talk and talk and just berate you. And I mean, and I'm not saying that's what Art did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about here in my studio. I could do that. But I don't do that. But when he says you can't defend yourself against someone else who's controlling the mic, I fully understand that because the controls are right here at my fingertips. I can push a button, and no matter what you say, the audience would not hear it.
You know what? I liked your explanation about them both being right and both being wrong. I'm recently reading a book called Eisenhower in War and Peace,
mm-hmm.
and the reason I read it, am reading it, is because talking to you about Eisenhower and hearing Laura Eisenhower on the show and stuff and just piqued my interest.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things there where you find out things that were different from what, you know, actually was said.
Yeah, and that's true of every public figure. And every public figure, there are things both good and not so good that are reality that are kept from the public.
Hey, Kevin, thanks for taking my question.
All right. Thanks for the call. All right. How about you? 623-444-5889. That would be the number to call. We will take calls tonight. It's open line live. That means we'll talk about what you want to talk about. I threw a couple of things on the table. One has to do with internet gurus, and the other has to do with this Dutch company that is going to do a reality show, and they say they are going to land people on Mars. They'll start with four. And each year after that, they will land four more. And these are people who go there knowing they're not coming back here. I think it's very, very exciting. I don't know. Now, I want to go to Mars. But if they said you could never go back to Earth, you have to spend the rest of your life there, I'm not so sure I would do that. All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, I'd like to mention the the Mars TV show that the Dutch want to do, you know, for a private organization, company or corporation, whatever entity it is, that wants to go to that tremendous expense of sending even one flight from planet Earth to Mars, you know, that's a huge risk, a huge dollar risk. And most of the private companies and corporations I know of aren't willing to take that kind of a risk unless they're pretty certain they're going to get a profit return on that monstrous investment that they make.
That's right.
So that kind of whispers something into my ear that we probably already do have a presence up there. We know that the environment is going to be safe and is going to be conducive for that kind of a show. Because if they were going to just send four people up to Mars and then they were suddenly going to be taken hostage by some Martian Al-Qaedas or something, you know, and we were just going to watch them all get beheaded or whatever, I don't think that they would take that risk. I just have a feeling that if there was ever going to be a close to public statement that we have a base on Mars, that the announcement of the plans of making this show is it.
You know, that's a good way of looking at this. It says a lot of things. And, you know, I think it does say that they know that the conditions on Mars are not like the official statements say. I think they know that. I think they're smart enough to have looked at the same evidence that I've talked about on this show and said that evidence says something entirely different from the official statements. And so they probably do know that it is conducive enough that they would be able to do this. Now, let me ask you something. Think about these people that are going to go there knowing they're never, ever going to get to come back here. What could you pay somebody? It couldn't be money because there's no place to spend it up there. Money is meaningless on Mars. What recompense could you provide them for their participation in your TV show?
Well, Kevin, my guess would be compensation maybe for their families. If they have significant others that are down here, maybe parents or brothers, sisters, or something like that, that would certainly be some kind of compensation. And then on the other hand, there's some people will do just about anything for their 15 minutes of fame. And of course, this would be more than 15 minutes; it would be the entire rest of their lives. But they would certainly become famous people. You know, and I think some folks would just go to any length for fame.
I think some people would. Now, compensation paid to my family, yeah, that would be something. But they would have to do that before I left. I would not trust any company anywhere or any government anywhere to say, okay, you go ahead and get on the spaceship, and once you've been there for a month, then we'll pay your family. No, because I wouldn't be able to come back here and sue them in court if they didn't do it. So, you know, with me, if it's compensation for my family, then, you know, it's going to, they would have to take out a loan from the World Bank, and they would have to pay it to my family prior to me getting on that spaceship.
Right. You'd have to see it up front.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you go?
Well, I'm on the far side of 60 right now, Kevin. So by 2024, I'll be 80 something, and you know what? By that time, I expect I would have experienced just almost everything I care to experience here on planet Earth, and I might just be game.
Mm-hmm.
Just might be game.
Well, maybe they'll offer you a seat in one of those flights.
But you'd need to come along as a tour guide, Kevin. You already know Mars, I think, better than most anybody.
Yeah, but you know something? Honestly, if I couldn't come back here, I don't think I would go. I would like to go see Mars, but I don't want to live on Mars. I know where I want to live. If I can't live there, then I'm not so sure I'd want to live on Mars. You know, I live where I live in hopes of living where I want to. But on Mars, there is no such hope.
I hear you, Kevin, and God knows I sure hope you get your dream comes true.
Well, I don't think it will, but I hope it does, and we'll see. But, you know, if you're on Mars, there's not even the hope. You're there.
True enough.
Yeah. All right, man, I appreciate the call.
Oh, absolutely, Kevin.
All right, have a good evening. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. It is Open Line Live. I think it's a very exciting thing, this thing about going to Mars, setting up a colony, and doing from Mars a reality TV show. Man, I mean, think about that. I guarantee you the entire Earth would be watching that show every time it came on the air. I mean, the people that don't even know how to spell TV would have one. And they'd be watching what's going on live from Mars. It's exciting. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hey, Terry, how are you?
No fair do. Somewhere in between, I guess.
Okay.
You know, as far as that to Mars, you know, I think that's kind of, you know, pretty really wishful thinking.
It might be.
I don't expect that to happen.
Yeah, it might be.
I don't really expect that to happen anytime soon.
Well, 2023 is when that's supposed to happen.
Oh, they got a further down the road date?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're supposed
you know
to put...
Bronson, he, Virgin Airlines, he just recently got the first certification to orbit near Earth with his aircraft. Do you know about that?
No, I haven't been following that.
Yeah.
I do know there is a guy who is going to do a parachute jump from the edge of space. And
this is an aircraft, and mm-hmm. you know it's going to cost you buku bucks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you can, you know, he has they licensed his plane and all that stuff. Near Earth, I don't know how far up they're going to go. I guess you know far enough to you know be able to float and all that kind of stuff. They were just licensed here just recently, I see on the news. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, if, you know, there's going to be no more NASA and, you know, a lot of these companies are stepping up to, you know, they're, you know, launching these satellites for governments mm-hmm. and stuff, private industries. And, you know, if the government ain't going to help, you know, they might as well get the heck out of the way so we can get on with business.
Terry, we've got a break taking over. Hang on, we'll come back to you right after this break. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we will be back right after this, so don't go away.
Kevin Smith Show.
You are indeed listening to the Kevin Smith Show. This is the Kevin Smith, and on the telephone with me is Terry from Ohio. Terry, the break took over and we had to cut you off in mid-sentence. I'm not real sure. I don't remember what you were saying. If you do, please continue. If you don't, I have a question for you.
I was just talking about, you know, the government getting out of the way and, you know, downsizing the government and letting the people get on with their business, you know, and these small businesses and or big businesses, whatever, you know, who have these ideas, you know, to get us out of the mess we're in and, you know, move us into the 21st century.
Well, I hope it goes that way. However, every time some politician says they're going to downsize the government, we end up with a much larger government and a much larger debt. So I don't have a lot of faith in politicians downsizing the government and reducing their own power. I'm not going to say it won't happen, but I have a lot of doubts about that. But I think it's a marvelous thing, whether they succeed in pulling this off or not. I think it's a marvelous thing to say, you know what, not only can it be done, but we're going to step up here and we're going to do it, and we're going to do a TV show with it so everybody in the world can see it. Man, I mean, it's just, I hope they can do it.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think that's taken reality TV a little too far, but
several million miles. Yeah.
Just the idea of going to Mars and all that stuff, you know, and them being able to actually pull it off, would be a great benefit to society. But for the purpose that they're talking about, it's pretty lame, you know.
Well, the thing about it is this, you know, we would kind of like for the, you know, the scientists to go, and we'd kind of like for the, you know, hard data to be gathered and so forth. But we've been waiting since 1972 for NASA to go some freaking place, and they haven't done it. And now they say they're not going anywhere, but they're going to do it farther and faster than ever before. And so if the only way that we can get truth about Mars back to Earth is from a reality TV show, then I say let's do it, whatever it takes. That's how they'll pay the bills, you know. Can you imagine what the advertising would cost for that show? If you owned a company and you wanted to advertise on that show, you would have to take a loan from the World Bank. It's going to cost a lot of money to advertise on that show.
Yeah, man, that'd make the Super, you know, Super Bowl's the big one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that would really pale in comparison. Yeah,
it would. It absolutely would. But here's what I can see happening. If it actually, now I'm not joking about this, if it actually takes place and they actually get people over there on Mars, you can bet there's going to be a race between Chevrolet and BMW and Mercedes and Hyundai and Honda and all of them, big race to come up with a transportation buggy for those people on Mars, so they will have constant advertising every time that show is on. And they'll have the first car on Mars, you know. And there's going to be all kinds of, I mean, if they actually get that colony there, every company that makes anything at all is going to want to get their products on Mars.
Yeah, to be at least associated with it in one part or another.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. That's the, you know, like I said, you know, Bronson done this thing on his own, you know, because he's got a lot of money. You know, and this is a true thing. You know, and it's going to take, you know, more people, you know, with coming out with better energy, you know, and, you know, like you say, you know, if this, you know, actually thing goes to Mars, things like this, you know, whether the government wants to downsize and get out of our way, you know, I think, you know, by us just taking over and getting and doing what we need to do for everybody, you know, and makes the wheels turn and the world go around, we'll force them down,
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. But hurry, I'm an old man. I want to see it happen.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. It's going to take some time, but I think it's got to. You know, it's the only solution, I believe. But
well,
that's all I have.
I hope you're successful. Terry, thanks for the call.
Yep. Take care, Kev.
All right. All right, what about you? 623-444-5889. You can call in as a regular person, or you can call in as an internet guru and shower us with some wisdom as an internet guru. Take a shot at it. I mean, you know, if you are one of the internet gurus, come on. Jump into my yard. Let's see. And if you're not an internet guru, you're just one of the regular people who watches information, and you kind of put that in your filing system, and you say, I'll think about that. We want to hear from you, too. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is John from the warm portions of Arizona.
Hello, John.
How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, my mind was wandering while everybody's talking about the pluses, but, you know, this company that is taking people to Mars and they have to stay there
mm-hmm.
runs a very big risk, just like NASA did back when they had the fire mm-hmm. in the training process and lost the astronauts.
Yeah.
And then burned.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as somebody on Mars dies from an accident, that, you know, you can write that one off, but if somebody wants to come home, they can't come home, and then they commit suicide, you know, that's an extreme risk from a monetary standpoint of a company.
Well, these people will have, you can bet, they will have signed away all possibility of this company being sued.
Well, true, but whether they're sued or not, you still have the public opinion that now turns off and doesn't watch this show anymore because their hearts, whether it's contractually or legally in the company's interest and they're in the right, that doesn't change feelings in the public.
Well, you're right, and there will be some reaction like that, but I'll tell you something. We now live in a world that's a gladiator world. It's a world that loves blood and gore. And
there is a portion of it that does, you bet.
Well, and, you know, you come out with a video game that does not have blood and gore in it, and you won't sell it.
They don't sell very many video games to me to begin with, so.
Mm-hmm. But all the top-selling video games are blood and gore video games.
Right. And I think that it's changing the generation that's growing up with it.
Oh, sure it is. Sure it is. And when, you know, people brought up opposition to that in the early days, the answer was, you know, for goodness sakes, it's just a game.
I can remember when my mom used to talk about all the Westerns and all the killing in the Westerns, and there was no blood and gore and guts in the killings in the TV Westerns.
Right. You know, but it does desensitize people.
Heart and died, you know?
Yeah, it desensitizes people. And,
you know,
I can tell you as someone...
To the time of ancient Rome, say 300 A.D.,
mm-hmm.
just about the time Rome was doing its fall.
Well, I can tell you as somebody who has seen lots of blood and gore in my career as a police officer.
Knowing where you've traveled, I don't doubt it one little bit. And
oh, well, let me tell you, most of the blood and gore I saw was right here in the land of the free.
Really?
Yes.
I knew that there was some, but you always think that the third world has worse than we do, but
no,
maybe not.
No. I mean, I saw some terrible stuff whenever I was overseas, you know, results of homemade bombs and things like that. But it's not so much of it. You know, my very first day as a patrolman, I was assigned a suicide 3 days before Christmas where a guy put a 44 Magnum under his chin sitting out in his pickup in his front yard. And I can tell you, real blood and real gore is not a game, but people are desensitized to that.
Did they just wrap the truck up and the vehicle up and throw it away?
I don't know what they did with that. I mean, my job was to go out there and investigate and to see, you know, was it suicide or was there some reason to think it was not? And then to get the coroner's office out there and to collect the body and take the body to the morgue and to interview the family and interview neighbors and... you know, what did you see? What did you hear? All of that stuff. And but that was my very first call on my very first day as a patrolman.
Well, let me ask you this. Taking into consideration what you just said about the Third World and the United States, thinking back to the hostage situation and some of the disasters that we've had here in the United States, people tend to forget their differences and pull together and help each other. Do you find in the Third World where they have little or nothing that they tend to help each other more?
People are people. Wherever you find them, people are people.
Mm-hmm.
However, and let me say, in the Third World, their biggest concern would be the same as our biggest concerns. They want enough food for their family, a shelter that's reasonable. They want education for their children. And they want availability of doctors if they need to take their child to the doctor or the hospital. They, you know. So the basics in life are the same. I don't care if you're talking about... the United States of America? Are you talking about Pakistan? Are you talking about Iran or Israel or Egypt or anywhere else? It's people are exactly the same at that level. Where we are different is determined by how much of the political propaganda crap people listen to.
I love that term. We've talked many times and we share many of the same opinions about the leading elite.
Mm-hmm. Well, to the extent that a person is really buying into the political propaganda crap, to that extent, they're going to be different from someplace else. You want to hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right, hang on. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. On the telephone with me is John from Arizona. We are on final approach, folks. We only have a few minutes left. So, John, we were talking about, you know, the difference between Third World and here. It's the difference is basically economic. You know, in a lot of these Third World countries, we say, well, they're backward. Or, you know, life there is primitive. You know, a lot of these people, in fact, most of them, speak 2, 3, 4, 5 languages.
True.
And, you know, we used to say overseas, it was a standing joke, what do you call somebody that speaks 5 languages? Multilingual or polylingual. What do you call somebody that speaks 2 languages? Bilingual. What do you call somebody that speaks 1 language? American. Yeah. So these people are not uneducated. They're not stupid. They are really quite brilliant. They are surviving in conditions that most Americans would die in.
Well, and that was the angle I was coming at. You know, mm-hmm. when you get society, any group of people who are down to the basic needs, shelter, food, water, you know, they tend to look out for each other a little more, because they have to depend upon each other, because that type of stuff has become so labor intensive without the benefit of electricity, gasoline, you know, all of the conveniences we take for granted in this world. And if everything ever folded up, like wiped out the computer systems in the United States and we were back to, you know, riding bicycles and walking, you know, those basic needs would be the same, and that reduces us to that same thing. And I was looking at the relationship you have with family, extended family, and then your community. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm not talking like Phoenix, I'm talking like your community, the surrounding four or five blocks of people that you know here.
Mm-hmm.
And we would all be that. And I have a great deal of faith in the vast majority of people that they would get together and try to survive. And some might be called gangs, others would be called church organizations, and to the extent that which group you believed in and belonged to would govern how you approach the problem.
Well, that's true. One of the biggest things that's going to be a shock if we are ever thrown into a situation where there's been a technological meltdown. One of the biggest shocks people are going to be thrown into in developed countries is that they will go into that situation with a certain framework of social norms of what's right, what's wrong, and they will try to apply it to a non-technological society, a society that has become technologically primitive. It won't work. The social norms will change, and they will
right.
change dramatically, and they will change rapidly, or you won't survive. But you know, I've worked in third world countries. I've worked in what you might call second world countries. We never hear about them.
They kind of lost in the shuffle.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and there's more of them than there are first or third.
Right.
And I've worked in Muslim areas, lots and lots of Muslim areas. I've lived in Muslim countries. And people are just people. The things that divide us are usually the things we go vote on.
Right.
It's government and politicians. I'll tell you this story very quickly. I won't say where this happened, but the U.S. Army had seized a Serbian transmitter, a Serbian radio and TV transmitter. And so I needed to know if we could expect that we were about to have a riot, because the people were very, very angry.
Right.
So that night, I took one of our translators, a female, and I took her. I went and met her parents. We had dinner at her parents, and then I promised them I would keep her safe. And then we went to a very well-known, very Serb nationalistic bar. And when I walked in, I was wearing a t-shirt with an American flag on it on purpose. And all the music stopped, and everybody turned and looked at me, total silence. And in Serbian, I said to the bartender, "Bartender, rakia," rakia is the sort of the national drink there, kind of like Jack Daniels is here, you know. I said, "Rakia for everyone." He said, "For everyone?" I said, "Yeah, for everyone." And so this place had about 50 people in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they served drinks, and this guy stands up immediately as soon as he got his drink. And he raised his cup, and I'll clean this up. He says, "Screw the United States." I said, "Well, you'll have to do that. I'm not tough enough." And then we drank.
Yeah.
Everybody downed their drinks, and everybody kind of laughed. And you could tell this guy was seated with about four or five other guys, and they were the tough guys there. Mm-hmm. And so everybody downed the drinks, and I said, "Bartender, another one for everybody." So he shrugged his shoulders and poured drinks for everybody, and I was, you know, putting money out on the bar for him.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy stands up, and he says, "Screw Bill Clinton," and raised his glass. "Screw Bill Clinton." And I kind of shrugged my shoulders and smiled, and I said, "Okay, screw Bill Clinton," and we downed the drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned to the bartender, I said, "Another drink for everybody, another round for everybody." And this time, before he could stand up, I raised my glass, and I said, "Screw Milosevic." And the bar just went mm-hmm. silent. And I said, "And all the rest of the politicians." And everybody laughed and drank, and I said, "Bartender, some music." So he starts the music, and everything was calm, everything was cool, everybody was fine with it. Now, the purpose of this story is this. These people hated Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't say it, but they equally hated Milosevic.
Mm-hmm.
They hated that these two men had them caught in a vice.
Yep.
That's what they hated.
Well, and in a long diplomatic way, you helped to show these people that people are people. It's the governments that are different, and the power-grabbing elite.
Yeah.
And they will use whoever to make their point and put more money in their pockets.
Well, you know, there I'm standing in my T-shirt that has an American flag all over the front of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've seen them. You know, the whole front of the T-shirt was an American flag.
Sure.
And so there I stood in an absolutely nationalistic Serb bar. We drank and danced and laughed together all night till about 5 in the morning. And every once in a while somebody would tap me and say, "You need a better shirt." And I'd say, "Well, bring me one." And they'd just laugh, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, and we did not have a riot. I didn't stop the riot. But, you know, they were just ticked. They were just ticked.
Right.
But they were caught in the middle between these two guys. And that's
right.
Where most of the world is right now. They're caught in the middle between insane people that are leading
yes.
countries.
Real quick point before we end the show, before we run out of time.
Well, you got about 10 seconds.
Okay. Would you believe it if they said that they'd shot these people all the way to Mars? You've got a year of the travel in space. They could just be orbiting the Earth with video cameras in their spaceship showing them and us what they wanted to see.
If it's a private company, I would believe it.
More than I would the government.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Got to run. We're out of time. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thanks
all
a
right.
lot.
All right, folks. Thank you for being here this evening. It's been fun. Not a single internet guru called in. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.